This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have more Cowboys-specific talk coming up at 3:20. Tyler Guyton's going to join us in 1 hour. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
Yeah, the big news outside of the draft, but the NFL apparently to allow guardian caps on helmets during the regular season. So the NFL has adjusted its rules to allow players the option to wear the guardian caps in regular season games to enhance their protection against head injuries. Padded headgear has been mandated for players at certain positions during training camps. We've seen when we've been out there in Oxnard. But NFL Executive Vice President Jeff Miller said that they've contributed to nearly 50% reduction in concussions for the position groups that wore them during those time periods. So you might see on game day, some of these players are wearing those guardian caps. Kind of looks like they're wearing fat heads out there.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, anything for player safety, I guess.
Yes. You know, and we might have to get used to those. I wonder if it's going to be a competitive advantage in any way. You know, I think not having to worry about getting a concussion is one advantage. I could be more comfortable out there. But also, you're taking up more space.
Yeah, you definitely are.
That's a significant more surface area.
It's going to be a weird look because it's always jarring when you see it at training camps. Now to see it in regular season games, I just think for fans and consumers, they're going to be like, what the hell is this?
They're going to have to make one that more closely resembles the actual helmet.
Yeah.
So it's not like an overlay of a different color.
I think there was a guy named Kelso that for the Buffalo Bills. I think if you Google, I think it's Jason Kelso for the Bills. He wore
cap on all the time.
He had that huge Buffalo Bill over on the top of his, but it was logoed up and all that.
All right.
I think it's
that could be badass.
I think it's Kelso.
I remember there was a 49ers player too. Was it Bubba Paris or somebody like that?
Barton?
Was it
that? Didn't Don Beebe have that joint too? He had the cap on his too.
I think it was when Don was with us in Green Bay. He didn't wear one, but man, I thought it was Jason Kelso with the Buffalo Bills. Was the first one that I ever saw, like
Mark
Kelso.
You know, Mark
Kelso.
You just combined Jason Kelce and Mark Kelso is what you did. I totally understand why you connected those dots.
I knew it was Kelso. It was kind of a gamble.
This is weird, dude, though. Yeah. Like, he does. It's a helmet on top of a helmet here.
Yes. It looked Lucius. It was like our guy on the Jetsons, the Gazoo. What is it?
The Flintstones.
The helmet. Yeah.
Oh, this was Steve Wallace, 49ers.
Steve Wallace, there you go.
Hey, Don Beebe used to rock it too, man. Everybody used to rock that thing.
Okay, so if they, all right.
That's crazy,
dude.
There's
some sort of a precedent for it. Why don't they just bring back that deal?
Yeah.
You know, that looks pretty cushiony.
That's perfect. Still looks like the helmet and everything. So let's see how that ends up being incorporated this year. Now, I saw our buddy Warren Sharp put this out. Roger Goodell, who was on the McAfee show, said he ideally wants the following things to happen with the NFL schedule.
This is great news.
It is. 2 preseason games. Mm-hmm. 18 regular season games, calendar extended by 1 week. So Super Bowl Sunday will land on a 3-day weekend. The Monday after the Super Bowl would be President's Day. So naturally, you get the built-in Monday holiday, which everybody wants the Monday after the Super Bowl to be a holiday anyway.
Yes.
And so now it would be.
Yeah, some people were willing to take it as far as making it Super Bowl Saturday just so they can have the obvious Sunday off day after the Super Bowl festivities, but it works out much better this way. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It needs to remain that way. But when you have the built-in on, this is a no-brainer. And aren't they throwing in an additional bye week? I believe I read that as well.
Yeah, it would
make
a lot of sense.
18 games, and then you have 2 bye weeks there for each team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm on board with this. It would be great.
Would you guys ever be on board with one of these helmet caps in a game? As a player.
As a player, I mean, listen, if I was a guy who was super susceptible, if I had a bunch of concussions or whatever and I knew this could help me, yes, I would probably do that. But otherwise, no, I would not be in favor of wearing
this thing.
Yeah, you
want to look good, feel good, play good.
You definitely don't want to. I mean, it just adds to if you get dominated on a play, you know, or you don't look good doing something, you look unathletic and you have that weird hat on, it's just going to make things look even dumber for you. You know?
Yeah, it's not a great look.
Like the neck roll and you really trash.
Yeah.
Like, dude. Yeah. Or the sleeve and you get no buckets.
Yeah. It's like, come on.
You cannot get run over with that neck roll.
Well, no, bro.
You gotta stop.
I was just thinking now in scouting, you always like players that clap after the play. you don't want those guys.
Okay.
If you're a clapper, you're for a clapper, you don't want that guy.
Jalen Smith.
But now I have to incorporate, if you have the big helmet thing
not for me.
You're like, he gets dominated, he's got the helmet thing on, he's not a very good player. Man. It's a new scouting.
Pick the wrong sport.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some of the good audio from last night. Drake May goes third overall to New England, so he's going to be a Patriot. We'll see if that ends up working out for New England. But, you know, I don't have a brother, unfortunately. I've got a lot of friends that I view as brothers. I know, Eric, you've got three brothers, Gavin and Brian. You've got brothers. Lucius, I know you've got a sister.
I've got a billion.
Okay.
I've got a billion brothers in God's way.
That's my guy. Drake May's brother was asked to record a special message for him on draft day. And, well, I mean, you got to love your brother for this.
Pretty boy. Overrated.
Are you serious? I was getting emotional for a sec, but now I'm laughing now. Who let him say that?
Pretty boy.
Those are all his brothers just spitting one-liners at him?
Just like, dude, you're a B-boy.
Pretty boys. Overrated.
That's how you know they have a great relationship.
Yeah, no one can humble you quite like your brother. We also had, the mom of Brian Thomas Jr., who ended up going to the Jags, and that's an LSU Tiger, Brian. We didn't get to hear this because we're doing the draft coverage, but I was able to hear it this morning, played back, and I think some of the other shows, but it's hilarious. She's dunking on Lauren Rutledge's question here, and here is the exchange with Laura Rutledge and Brian Thomas Jr.'s mom.
Sandra, how far has this family come?
We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
When you think about the journey that you've been on together, what does tonight mean to you?
It means the world. It's amazing. I'm so grateful to God, so happy for him. We are so proud of him.
I just love that answer. We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah.
That's it. Mic drop.
She's trying. Rutz is trying to do the dramatic. Yeah.
Like, how far has we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we've made it.
Yeah. Yeah, rather literal interpretation of that.
Yeah,
I would say, yeah.
It's a great answer.
Went to the airport, got on the plane in Baton Rouge.
And here we are, we're at the draft.
Here we are, roughly 1,500 miles. Yeah.
Did they cut down on the, because, you know, doing the pluckers thing, you're all over the place, you can't really see and hear.
I can't answer this. But, like the emotional.
Yeah, where they have these prepackaged stories about.
I think
about,
a lot of it's going to be tonight and tomorrow.
Where they go into like the single.
The Tom Rinaldi deals.
The saddest moment in every player's life, and they shed light on it. As he gets drafted into the league. That's been their bit for the last half decade.
It is. And it's just to try and make you cry. The worst was, I think, the COVID draft, you know, which was a fantastic draft, but it was like every story is like a tearjerker here. We're trying to just pull at the heartstrings. Like, this is amazing. Like, this is great moments for these players and their families. Like, let's be positive here.
Not my favorite kind of jerker, Wolchuk.
Mm.
Oh, come on.
What is?
It's Friday.
That's my guy. Keep it loose. Keep it steady, hey, dude. Yeah.
No qualms from me.
All right, let's go to Chris Ballard.
By the way, I call that poverty porn. They like to do a little poverty porn.
Dude, that's a great way to go.
They were so broke. Now look at them.
Talking about that rags to riches story.
How far has your family come from poverty? Yeah.
Thankfully, your son was really fast and strong.
Good God. Well, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Still trying
to
figure out where he got that the speed and everything.
We're down proud of where we came from. All right, we got Chris Ballard, GM of the Colts, and I don't know what was going on with his hair. This dude needs to get a haircut, but it was wild and crazy. He goes on a Pat McAfee show with Bill Belichick, and Belichick did a hell of a job last night from some of the clips that I've seen. It was a fun watch if you're checking that out. But he had a message for Bill if he does decide to return to coaching.
We appreciate you. There's been a trade. Another defensive tackle has been taken, and you have a rest of the weekend to continue to build our program in Indy. We appreciate you, pal.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me on.
Anything to say to Bill?
Coach Belichick, when you come back in the league, go in the NFC.
ladies and gentlemen, Chris Ballard.
Stay the hell out of my conference, Coach. I don't want to deal with you anymore. I like that from Chris Ballard.
That is some interesting hair.
It's wild, right?
The hair and face combo.
Yeah, he's an interesting looking dude.
I'm like little Gary Busey in there.
Mm. NFC might be his only choice. Rumor is the Cowboys are the only team that would hire Belichick.
I do wonder about the Giants. I feel like that's always been the dream job for him, is the Giants.
Cowboys make sense, a lot of sense.
It does make some sense. We'll see how this year goes. Finally, last pick of the first round ended up being Xavier Leggett, who might have the best voice in the entire draft. And
it's our country boy.
Played some cuts of him. South Carolina wide receiver ends up going to the Carolina Panthers. They move up to go get him, which I did see Bill Belichick called. Like, as soon as the Panthers moved up, he said, I think they're moving up for Xavier Leggett. This is their guy. But head coach Dave Canales actually said, yeah, I promise you, bro, we're going to come and draft you.
It seemed like I saw the video of Leggett saying that he's met with you guys 4 or 5 times, and yeah, you guys have told him if he's there at 33, you're taking him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, it was a great conversation. You know, I definitely said that to him and about 50 other guys, you know, like, man, so we take you at 33. It's actually a lead-in question. So when we draft you at 33, what happens now? And then there's a bunch of questions that happen after that, you know, so... part of the process.
Part of the process. I love that. Being able to fulfill that young man's dream. Pretty cool there from Dave Canales. The big drama last night, though, was Michael Penix Jr. getting selected at 8 overall by the Falcons. Now, in the moment, we were all pretty stunned. I mean, we kicked that around before it happened.
We did.
We were like, hey, do you consider taking a quarterback?
We sure did.
You know, my whole thing was, I think Michael Penix Jr. is the quarterback that's going to go in the top 10. Like, I'm not buying the J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix stuff. To me, Penix is the guy that you take that flyer on. But Falcons just paid big money for Kirk Cousins. So they end up taking him 8th overall. Apparently, they had no conversations with owner Arthur Blank about that decision, and they had no conversations with Kirk Cousins. His agent put out there that they were pretty shocked by it. Now, I mean, I'm sure Kirk's going to handle this, be very, very classy, but Terry Fontenot, the GM of Atlanta, said if you believe in a quarterback, you got to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years... that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at the position. So it's as simple as yes. If you see a guy you believe in that position, you have to take him. I don't know that you really want him to sit 4 or 5 years, though. No.
I thought it had to be a deal where they were trying to get a trade done but just couldn't get it finished before the pick came up. So they said, well, let's take him because that's better value for us. I don't think both of them are going to be on the roster for long, but I do think they see in Penix what I see.
Yeah.
An absolute alpha stud beast that you don't want to pass on. And if you have Kirk Cousins, who cares? It's an average quarterback.
Yeah.
This guy might be your Hall of Famer.
Well, and he's 36 years old. He's coming off an Achilles. And ultimately, like, Kirk Cousins is a dude who expresses himself as a man of God. Like, you know he's going to handle this well. And he's going to welcome in Michael Penix Jr. I'm sure he's frustrated and ticked off right now because that's the competitor. But big picture, it's going to be fine for them.
Jay Gruden was like, yeah, you know, Kirk can be a little bit sensitive at times. I saw that's the analysis that he had last night.
Just
he knows Kirk
like
very well.
Smoking
a
joint.
I don't think Kirk liked that last night. But, I agree with everything you guys said about Kirk Cousins. But the Falcons said that he's not an average quarterback based on the contract they just gave him. Clearly, you're trying to win right now with Kirk Cousins. So you need to help him do that.
It is a little bit bizarre.
This is not helping your team. You've decided you're in win now mode. You've decided Kirk Cousins is your quarterback. You gave him the bag. So, and now you're not going to give him a top 10 talent to go help win in what is a terrible division and not that great of a conference.
Yeah. That you could easily win. It is interesting.
And I feel bad for Penix too. The dude's going to be 30 if he sits 5 years.
That's true.
If he sits 5 years, he's 31 years old.
Well, according to James Palmer, Seattle, New Orleans, and Las Vegas all attempted to move into the top 10 to get Michael Penix Jr. Then the Falcons apparently ended up just pulling the trigger on him.
So sure.
He had some suitors. Last two things, it's pretty funny. The most mid-quarterback room in all of the NFL now, which is the Denver Broncos, with Bo Nix being selected there. And this could be a guy like I'll eat crow on. Maybe Bo Nix goes for Sean Payton, ends up being a badass. I think this is like a Christian Ponder, EJ Manuel pick, where this is just a waste of a first rounder. This dude's going to stink. But Zach Wilson's New Jersey number, this is just hours before they take Bo Nix, who apparently they knew they were taking. Like, all the stuff we heard was
number
true.
10,
they
right?
knew he was going to be available
like,
there.
Yeah,
they didn't have to worry about
they're
it.
They're like, okay, we've done the homework. We love him. Like, all that stuff was true. Zach Wilson's jersey number, what do you think it is? 10. What
10.
Did Bo Nix wear in college?
10.
So now Bo Nix is going to have to wear 12 because Zach Wilson's got his jersey. Caleb Williams already being a good teammate. We had the leak. Like, he's going to wear 13 with the Bears.
Yeah.
He's not. He pivoted because Keenan Allen's got 13. So him and Keenan Allen are buddies now. They've been hanging out. So he said, you know what? I'll go back to my high school number, wear 18. That's already sold out online. So Caleb Williams will be wearing
Mike
number 18
Tomczak
as a rookie.
That's what Mike Tomczak was with the Bears.
Here's your NFL news of the day.
Appreciate you, Wolchuk.
Football guy brought us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins might find out what other old talented people find out, and that is
what
you can be here today and gone tomorrow. Whether
why
that's
would you say that
a year and a half or otherwise?
Really?
Okay, we got Woolchuck's Cowboys angles coming up. Dane Brugler, day two mock draft. Kuiper winners and losers. And how about Micah's reaction? The bully's going to stand and deliver those details, and then before too long, he and Broadus are going to be up there at the Star giving you your round two and round three coverage. Listen on the Odyssey app tonight, okay? You're going to hit that button when you jump in your truck. Rangers baseball on the Fan. It's a great option for you as they take on the Reds. Eric Nadell coming up in 2 hours. But on our app and streaming at 105throughthefan.com will be our draft coverage. Tyler Guyton's coming up at 4 o'clock, and we're back with Cowboys here in the Nation. And we're back, right? Is this a Christmas commercial already? It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Merry Draftman.
Listen, I removed one of these already. There's another one that popped up. I didn't see this one. This is Troy's Christmas music.
That is so awesome.
And it just randomly pops up on our timeline today.
It's fun.
Now would be, I suppose, a good time to salute the great Alicia Levitz.
Oh! Love you, Allie.
An incredible run here at Odyssey and Intercom and CBS. And a lot of people here have cared about her, but, you know, it's... You know, lean times in the industry. There have been cuts, and, you know, many of our friends and former colleagues are, you know, on the beach, as they say today, and enjoying the view and some much-deserved time off here, but maybe not much wanted time off. Okay, so best of luck to everybody out there. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and Woolchuk has an incredible amount of Cowboys content to get to here. Segments brought to you by Soda, the state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to FrankelFirm.com. Salute to Pluckers as well. Our path to the draft coverage continues. Here's the Woolly Bully.
Tyler Guyton, your newest Dallas Cowboy, expected to join us at the top of the hour. Look forward to catching up with him. We were able to talk with him a little bit last night, Brian, but we were right up against the hard out at the top of the hour. And we had a very, very excited Tyler Guyton. So I'm expecting him to bring the energy and the passion. We'll get to catch up with him in a little bit. 6'7", 322 from Oklahoma. Saw the Athletic have a breakdown where they give the pick a grade and some scouting intel. Here is what one coach said about Tyler Guyton to Bruce Feldman of the Athletic. He still needs to get stronger, and he tends to play too high, but he can do some things out there that are pretty special, given how big he is. He's so smooth, and he isn't on the ground much. I think that echoes pretty much a lot of the sentiments that we've shared
the
as
hands.
Well.
Yeah, the hands.
No doubt. Yeah. The grade from Scott Docterman, he's still raw and developing. Guyton earned 15 career starts at TCU in Oklahoma after declaring for the draft. He started 13 games at right tackle, one at left for the Sooners, while opening one game at tight end for TCU. He has the requisite body for an NFL tackle with 34.25-inch arms. It might take some time, but his upside is immense. They give the pick an overall B. And our buddy, Dane Brugler of the Beast, his breakdown overall, he does have some work in progress in several areas, and a steep learning curve should be expected for his rookie season. But he's got the athletic tools and fundamental skills to develop into a high-level offensive tackle. Micah Parsons was on, I believe, with Bleacher Report, Adam Lefko. He was with C.J. Stroud. They were doing a live stream of the NFL draft. Here was Micah Parsons talking about and reacting to the Tyler Guyton pick by the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm not mad at the pick. I think Guyton was like my fourth guy, as I said earlier in the show.
On his own big
board. I think
board.
This is a productive pick. Obviously, losing on Tyron Smith. We need more depth out there on that left tackle. So I think it's very interesting. We still got a lot of room. I think he has some great guys to look after. You got Tyler Smith who could critique Zach Martin. We still got some veteran leadership, Terrence Steele bouncing back. So I like the pick. It's not a bad pick. We picked up depth. We needed O-line help, and we went and got him in the first round. And I'm never going to question Will McClay and what he's done. I mean, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Tyler Smith. I mean, he really hasn't missed in this department. So I agree with the pick, and I like it.
He did spin it into a positive there, you know, talking about Will McClay. I agree with the pick. I like it. It's funny, though.
He wasn't around for Travis Frederick either, too.
He wasn't.
Yeah, so too young for that one.
In the video, though, and Eric, I know you saw it. I mean, his initially, like, he's not saying anything, and his face looks really disappointed. And C.J. Stroud's just laughing and like, look at his face, look at his face. And then Lefko goes to him, and he says, you know, that, which sounded fine. But he was also very upset about whom the Eagles ended up picking because he, I mean, hey, scout's eye, Micah Parsons, he liked Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo.
Yeah.
Eagles on the clock at 22. Who the bleep do they end up taking?
And with the pick, the 22nd pick, the Eagles, yes! Selecting Micah Parsons' favorite player for the second straight year, cornerback out of Toledo, Quinyon Mitchell!
I mean, I'm honestly utterly disgusted on how lucky the Eagles are. It's just like Chris, I do not know how he fell that far with this run of offensive tackles and quarterbacks. That's the only thing that makes sense. I thought he was a top 15, top 12 talent, and he just fell right into their laps.
And he was your favorite player?
He was definitely one of my more favorite players in this draft. Like I said, he rose in every bar. He hit every, like, every, he checked every box. And like I said, we don't know what Darius, and he, the mentors, he has one of the best quarterbacks to play the game, Darius Slay, to mentor him. They still got Elias Ricks, who stepped over big time last year.
Yes, he did.
They got James Bradbury, a guy who may not have the big year he wanted, like the year he had before, his all-pro year, but he's still a good quality player, and you just add him. And he could play inside or out. I think this is a great pick. I mean, I think this is a terrific pick, man. I don't know how Howie and them get so lucky. That's how I'm going to put it.
He's frustrated. It was a good pick for the Eagles. Now, they have not done a good job of developing corners
there. Not at all.
Like, Micah brings up a good point with Slay. Now, Darius Slay's his buddy because they went to Penn State
together.
Ricks
was a guy that got picked on quite a bit last year if you look at the metrics.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of the corners that they've drafted, they haven't developed. They've had to go out and make the trade for Slay. They signed Bradbury as a free agent. So, hopefully, Quinyon Mitchell's career is not torpedoed by the lack of development there in Filthy.
Yeah, I mean, and the jury's still out on Micah Parsons, the scout, you know? I mean, he was jumping for joy when they drafted Mozzie last year.
Yeah, he was. And he did not seem overly excited about Tyler Guyton. But hopefully, you know, they're teammates now.
I wonder how many first-round grades Parsons had for this draft.
It was probably more than what the Cowboys had.
You wonder why there's rumors that he's not the most liked guy. You know, he's brutally honest.
He's very honest. It says what's on his mind.
It's great for the media. Yep. You know, like blunt honesty is great with a microphone.
That's weed.
Yeah.
But it can get you in trouble in the locker room.
Absolutely can. You know, and I mean, if he wasn't one of the best defensive players in the NFL, I think the Cowboys would heavily pressure him to, like, slow it down. But I think you kind of let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah, you can get away with it when you're in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year every year. There's no question about that. We got the new Dane Brugler, day two mock draft, fresh off the press, Brian. Who's he got the Cowboys taking? 56. What do you think?
Got the runner.
The runner? Which runner? Which runner, Chief, huh?
The hurt runner.
The hurt runner?
The Texas Longhorn.
The Texas Longhorn?
The not Bijan Robinson Texas Longhorn running back.
Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Texas. Ding, ding, ding. 56. He does slide to the Dallas Cowboys. They get him there. They get their runner. So now they're locked and they're loaded. Round three. Pick 73, which they've got from the Detroit Lions, thanks to that trade moving back from 24 to 29.
This is the pick that Broda says hinges on the entire draft of whether or not this was a good draft for the Cowboys.
Or a good trade.
A good trade.
Yeah,
baby, I think this pick would be a good one. I think we'd be excited, Brian. Traven Wallace, the linebacker from Kentucky. With the additional third-rounder, Cowboys picked up by trading back. They should be able to add linebacker depth, and here they get Traven Wallace, very athletic linebacker out of Kentucky, can cover, can stop the run, instinctive, high athlete. I'd be very excited about that one.
This guy is, there's some plaster factor to this guy's game.
Plaster factor.
Whoa.
When he hits
new
you,
term alert.
When he hits you, you feel it. This guy
is. Is that for a cast?
That's right.
I mean,
Plaster master? Is that what you just did?
Plaster factor is what we got here,
plaster
man.
Factor.
This guy can really finish. No, it's not going to be in there. I coined the phrase myself.
Dude, that is next level.
Rarely do you see the ball carrier get past this guy. I mean, I love the way he finishes. I love the angles. I love the way he plays in space. The length, the wrap of the ball carrier, all that stuff, the physical, the way that he finishes, the angles, the space. everything about this. This guy doesn't get fooled as a player. I mean, he's a young guy, too. He's only 21 years old. And he's got a knack for making big plays just at the right time. 6'1", 237 pounds. This guy can, I mean, it doesn't take long to find him on film. I mean, you're watching the film, and you're like going,
he was impressive.
Oh, that's at number 32. Oh, okay, that's him. Okay, I see it. Yeah, I like what Dane did here. I don't know if the Cowboys will necessarily. He was a 30-visit guy.
He was. They've shown interest.
Yeah, man, this guy will blow you up.
And then at 87, with their second pick in the third round, they take the guard slash center Dominic Pooney from Kansas.
Yeah, that's. I think Dane is clearly on to something here. I don't know the order that all this is going to happen, but I think with Dominic Pooney, you're talking about a guy that was a left tackle at Kansas, but I feel like he's going to have to move inside to play guard. I don't think he has the foot quickness to play tackle. I think the guard schemes will help him a little bit better with that inside, kind of the short area stuff that he can do with. But he's got good initial power at the point of attack. The hand strength is good. He can kind of hold rushers in place when he gets those hands inside.
Yeah, I did not like him at tackle, but you project him inside. Yeah. I think the power definitely would be an asset
Bendy,
there.
Bendy, I don't think he's going to play on the edge because bendy guys give him problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. Last bit of Cowboy news. The Zeke interest is real, and the draft pick would not impact that. I think a lot of people have run with Michael Gelkin's article and are just assuming like this Zeke deal's done. And heck, it might be. Nothing has been officially posted by the team. But Jerry did say yesterday, is he going to play next year? In my mind, it's very real. In my view, he's going to play. I don't want to go too far here. But they did also acknowledge that drafting a running back would not impact the decision on Zeke one way or another.
What the f***? No, God!
Would you like that, Brian?
Yeah. I was waiting for
the last one's always great.
The last
great.
One's
so
the best.
Good.
Yeah, I think that, you know, with Ezekiel Elliott, though, you get him for your price. And you get a guy that could blitz pick up. You get a guy that could get short yardage runs. You know, you already, like I say, it's he fits a lot of box. I mean, checks a lot of those boxes. His teammates like him. Coaches like him.
Yeah.
Ownership likes him. Can I say something real quick, too? I just noticed this.
Yeah.
Is it Pete Thamel? Is that the guy at ESPN?
Oh, the college football coach? Insider?
God, Sam God.
I found this really interesting. 9 transfers in the first round got drafted.
Oh,
so guys, so we're in that era now where we're in that era of portal football.
Yeah.
9 guys left their original school, went to another school, and got drafted in the first round. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't encourage more guys to leave schools and go other places,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what will.
Search for a better opportunity.
Yeah. 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 I thought the number was interesting, and it'd probably
I think it'll go higher.
12 next year, probably.
Our guy, right? TCU, then OU. Yeah. We'll talk with Tyler Guyton coming up at 4 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys. What are we doing next, Chief? Biggest L, biggest dub, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? And more importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? That's next right here in the Nation. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. We are 2 hours and 14 minutes away now from the draft resuming. Broadus and Woolchuk will be heading up to the Star here before too long. You'll listen tonight to the draft on the Odyssey app or at 105thefan.com. The Rangers game is going to be over the air, and the pregame's coming up at 6:30 as they host the Reds. Eric Nadell will join us at 5:20. But anyway, it's time now for the Chief. Here he is, Eric.
Yes, sir. We all get a big dub together here in about 14 minutes. Your newest Dallas Cowboy, Tyler Guyton, hopping on with us. Looking forward to that conversation. But right now, let's go ahead, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? And more importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? Let's rock and roll. Really, just can't express how much of a dub last night was at Pluckers.
Massive.
Pluckers is always a home run.
How drunk you get?
Total party. It was...
Tore up?
We were...
Like
we were up there, boys.
Parade drunk or ballpark drunk?
Not quite that. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably a surprise Tito's ballpark drunk. And that was a huge topic of conversation last night amongst the Tolos, by the way.
Oh.
Just hammered Broadus, Tito's Broadus, championship parade Broadus. Everybody absolutely loved it. They were wondering if perhaps you snuck a little bottle of tequila or something in the draft studio last night. I was he just takes this way too seriously. I'm like, listen, he will championship parade party. He will day baseball party. But when you get him in the comfy confines of a war room, my guy is freaking dialed and he's sober with nothing but football on his brain.
It's one of the few times the flask stays in the scouting bag, Brian.
There you
I'm
go.
Proud of you for that.
Yeah, that's even though I had 12 cans of Miller Lite sitting in front of me for 5 hours.
I was wondering why those hands were shaking when I went back and watched some of that footage. I thought you were ready to reach.
When they traded back, I thought about just pulling a Roger Goodell. By the way, did you hear Goodell like announcing the picks late? Was there some slurrying going on there?
He might have been.
Maybe he was dipping
allegedly,
in the bag.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Was he? He sounded a little slurry.
Well, he was on some meds because he had just had a back surgery, apparently. Okay. He was like questionable, actually, on the injury report coming in.
So yeah. nobody like jumped up on him. Like none of the big Tongan guys grabbed him. And
I was wondering about how Fashanu was going to handle that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did notice him scratching his nose a lot.
Oh, what, you think so? He's dipping into some of that?
He was hanging out with Eminem backstage.
Oh, that's
right. Eminem.
You want that sound? Eminem at a Michigan football game.
Eminem wanted no part of him. Did you notice that? Roger's kind of like, and Eminem's like, just shut up and read
the
lines.
Distancing himself because everybody's boo-birding old Goodell because that's a tradition unlike any other at the draft.
Yep. It was a dub for Detroit to get 250,000 people out there. Wasn't it? I mean, it looked like a championship parade. It also looked kind of pathetic that they were celebrating a draft like it was a Super Bowl championship because they haven't done it, you know?
Seeing old, crusty, real men with faces painted, Lions gear, the fake wig, you know, you have the wigs on that are Honolulu blue and everything. These are grown men. It'll never not be funny watching grown men paint their faces with chains. And
we're getting really close to that here too, by the way. Like guys, like the last time they won a championship, we were young men back then.
Agreed.
Now we're old men.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were 25-year-old guys back then. Now we're
at least you got jewelry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, big shout out to Pluckers in Grapevine, and Andy was a super beast last night. The GM over there, the wait staff was amazing, and all the Tolos.
Over and
like,
under
I can't
on
even
the wings,
begin.
Number of wings you had.
I
set it at 30, I think.
I only punished 20 last night, man.
I knew you could hit the over if you tried.
If I wanted to.
The question was, would you try?
Everything was moving quickly last night, though, man. As soon as you put a pick in, all of a sudden you announce it. Next thing you know, next guy's on the clock. You're trying to figure out who they're drafting. You know, I mean, it was... Wasn't just out there having fun drinking with your friends, man. There was a lot of work. There's responsibility. Okay.
So you feel like you couldn't really handle the job well?
There were a couple moments.
I mean, come on.
I wanted to pass the buck a couple of times.
You did a great job. I don't know about what's going on over there.
When you get those trades going on and you're not sure who's making the next pick, it can get pretty hairy out there, Brian.
Now you're searching. You're on the mic and you're like, hey, where's this person?
As you're also looking for your order of fried mac and cheese while somebody's on.
Holy mac hit last night.
Raiders are on the clock. Hang on. Where's that mac and cheese?
That's right.
That $8 holy mac.
Eagles draft with Mrs. Lurie.
Hey, she wanted to talk carving station with me that day.
Carving station.
Well, big shout out to all my boys. It was great. Met Allen last night, 214. Allen didn't take an L this week. Big dub. Got to hang out at Pluckers last night for the draft party. Have a great time. It was great to meet you, Allen. Big time G-Bag National and Tolo. Just a truly, truly special night. Always appreciate Pluckers and the Tolos getting after it and having themselves a fantastic time. 254 says their biggest dub is the Minnesota Vikings. First round picks last night. I guess we got a Vikings fan hanging around the broadcast.
Good for you. Yeah, good picks.
Had a pretty big L. My buddy Jose approached me after practice the other night and said, hey,
adios.
This is going to be Jaslin's last season.
Adios.
Moving to Houston.
Oh, gut-wrenching.
Yep. NIL money, a little better down
just
there.
Just a beast of a right back.
The NIL money.
Tall, strong, and fast, you know?
Oh, the trifecta.
Yeah.
Checks every box.
Can't coach that.
Do you think about building out that garage and maybe getting her a room there?
Yeah.
That's what Pops was trying to do.
Yeah.
He was trying to see where Dawson's going to go with it.
I looked at
we
it.
Might be leaving, man.
You know.
I did say.
We just can't afford the gas to get here anymore.
What do you need?
And her shoes got holes in them.
I mean.
That's when you reach in your pocket and hand him your credit card.
I did let him know.
Just means more.
It's on me.
I hate to leave.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. It's no cash today.
He knows how I roll.
Speaking of cash, 817, Big Dub made my largest commission check to date.
Congrats.
Half a hundo thousand.
What?
Doesn't feel real.
Let's go.
Do the math on that for me, Walchuck, and get back to me. I'd like to know how much this guy made, but that sounds pretty fat. Big L
for a living.
Brought half a hundo thousand?
This is going to hurt. This is going to hurt you guys. I know you guys
Big
always,
L.
You guys love the Southwest Airlines.
Oh, my favorite.
CEO Bob Jordan of Southwest hinted.
No.
open seating could become a thing of the past.
Okay, well, that's like, are they going to get rid of the free bags?
They didn't touch on the free bags.
I mean, what the hell is going on with you, Southwest?
But that's the thing about Southwest. That's what sets them apart, right? It's the open seating. That's why you guys love it. You guys rave about it every time. Every time we go on a trip, I love me some Southwest.
I feel like it's highly organized. I think everybody gets in line where they need to be. If you're one of the first ones to get involved, you get a better seat. That's the way it should be. You know?
Well, I mean, it discriminates against the slacker, which I really don't appreciate. I feel like Chief can understand me on this one. I know I have a flight tomorrow. I'm not sure what time it is. Oh, we just hit 24 hours 2 hours ago. Now I'm in group 7.
You don't have to worry about it with us because we're in here checking in for you.
I know you guys are legends.
The thing you do need to worry about is download the damn app so you don't have to go to the kiosk and print out a boarding pass.
I always feel like any like Vegas, Los Angeles, any of those airports, I always feel like we walk in together and then Dawson just goes off on his own somewhere. I just feel like he just kind of goes off to get the paper ticket, right? Is that what we're doing?
No. Yeah, I have to go get my ticket. You guys are already in security. You leave me.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, guys, you can't hold up for me to get my boarding pass?
It's the traditionalist in you, man. It's like I like to have that hard copy in my hand.
I just want
to
see it.
Got to get my newspaper.
I remember Eric trying to download it while we were in the airport one time. He's like, Eric, how do you do this thing?
Can we be prepared, guys?
Wait a minute. I can get my pass this way?
214 just took a dud and an L. Going to get a dub, though, when my wife finds out I got Cody Johnson and John Party tickets to the sold-out show at Globe Life Field.
Is this a country performer, I assume?
Yes. Okay.
Cody Johnson. What was your first hint?
214. I was not slurring my words on the microphone last night. You back off.
I think you were.
You think, yeah.
I think you were. You and Raj.
I think the biggest L of the night, though, went to Malik Nabers, who clearly does not want to be a New York Giant.
Oh, no.
I don't know if he doesn't want to be a Giant or if he just doesn't want to have to catch balls from Daniel Jones. I think that was gut-wrenching for him. In the lead-up to the draft, every time he was asked about the Giants, it did not seem happy. Today in the video, pulling up to the facilities, it seems just very stoic, like, gosh, dang it. I have to catch balls from Daniel Jones this year.
For at least 1 year. And then I'll be dealing with a rookie. Things are not off to a good start for me, Mom.
Not at all. Big dub for Ellen DeGeneres lovers. She's been kind of ousted out of Hollywood for kind of being a jerk. But apparently, she's back on the stand-up comedy stages. Okay. So if you're a big Ellen fan, looks like she's getting back on the mic. Maybe she will reveal some things about all the things that have been said about her over the last year. She seems a bit toxic, but she's back on the comedy tour there. So that is a big dub for Ellen DeGeneres fans.
Yeah, that is. I always thought that something else was going to happen beyond her being a jerk to people.
Yeah. You
know? Like, that's not fireable, or that's not cancelable. That might be fireable if your ratings are bad, you know? But
right.
She's doing a nice job, I thought.
I thought, too. I didn't know. But
bad ratings get you fired?
Yes.
Well, if they go long enough.
No, sorry.
Yeah. You start pushing 18 months or so, all of a sudden, Dunsky.
All right, another hour in the books here in the G-Bag Nation. We got hour 3 coming up. Tyler Guyton, the newest Cowboy out of OU and TC. We'll ask him about that journey and his enthusiasm on being drafted by the Cowboys last night. It was epic, and we'll get more on that coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.